Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Clint Yates going to stop by at 1040, as he does every Thursday. When is Ben Lyons coming on, Greg Bergman? Because I know we're not on tomorrow because of the holidays. So when is Ben Lyons on today?
Ben will join us at 11:30.
All right. And then at 11:40, we'll have Mason on today?
Yep. He's going to tell us all about his hot dog eating contest.
Yes. All right, cool. So we'll have all that for you coming up in just a bit. It's all brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, running on the same networks as the big boys for up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month. No contract, no compromise. Straight Talk Wireless. All right, so let's get right into this. I'm going to ask you a specific question, Greg Bergman, because I know there's been a lot of this talk, right? But I don't even know if I've actually asked you this question. Okay. Do you believe an NBA champion under this current format will be considered a legitimate champion?
I think they're, but me personally?
Yeah, you. I'm asking you, Greg Bergman.
Yes. Yes, I do think they will be considered a legitimate champion. Most of the season's been played, and this is a very difficult situation.
Now, I agree with you. You are not alone on this. Now, there are plenty of people that don't believe that.
Really?
Including Shaquille O'Neal, remember? He was asterisks on this. Now, I love Shaq. Shaq, you know I love you, but I feel like this is your brand based on the Spurs from back in 1999. So I know that this is a compromising situation, right, for the Lakers fans, because they have put the asterisks. Have they not? Over the years, the 1999 championship, there's a lot of Laker fans that put the asterisks on the Spurs, yes?
I mean, I don't. I mean, it was a championship. It was a shortened season, but they still won. And when you think back to the 99, you think, okay, the Spurs won.
Phil and Shaq were very big proponents of that, if you recall. Now, I think a lot of that was trolling at that particular time, but it was something that those two said a lot. Well, Giannis Antetokounmpo was speaking to the media yesterday via Zoom and had this to say about the legitimacy of a championship this year.
I've heard a lot of people say that there's gonna be how you guys say the star next to this championship. I feel like at the end of the day, this is gonna be the toughest like championship you could ever win. You know, because like the circumstances are really, really tough right now. So whoever wants it more is going to be able to go out there and take it.
Yeah, like I'm with him. This is going to be the toughest championship I think we've ever seen. What does Lakers head coach Frank Vogel think about Giannis's comments?
If we're able, I don't know about other teams, but if we are able to come through all of this, and achieve the ultimate prize, I do think it deserves a harder than ordinary asterisk if you're going to put an asterisk on it.
Yeah, of course. It is absolutely harder. I don't understand how anyone would consider it anything differently. Like, now, let me ask you this, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
What if the Clippers win the championship?
Oh, asterisks.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
No, I'm just kidding. Of course they would. But the brand says that the Clippers get an asterisk. But for the real, if you want me to be honest, no, this is a very difficult situation. They're going to lose players. Just every team is probably going to lose a player or two that it wants to sit out. Like the Lakers already have Avery Bradley, possibly Dwight Howard that's going to sit out. We don't know if Lou Williams is going to go. Maybe somebody else. Like it could be even a guy like Landry Shamet, just throwing a random name out there that could possibly – that may sit out. We don't know. So every team will probably not be at full strength because of that. And whoever does go into the bubble with a full team actually has a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Now, let me ask you this. What if something really wacky happens and like the Philadelphia 76ers win the championship? Not that crazy because they were a team people picked early on, but they hadn't played great this year.
I mean, yes. I mean, it's tough because if this was a regular season, then everybody's going to be sitting at could be having home court advantage. Like the Lakers losing home court advantage makes this very much more difficult for them. And the 76ers, maybe they don't have to deal with any type of crowd noise that are going crazy against them, and they can just play together. Then maybe all of a sudden that they start playing better and they win a championship.
And that's the reason I brought up the Sixers, because they were the best home record in the league and one of the worst road records in the league. It is one of these strange scenarios. So that's why I'm asking you. But as long as you're consistent, I'm fine with it. Because I am with Vogel, I'm with Giannis. If whoever wins, I don't care who it is. They're the champs this year, and you have to recognize that no matter who the hell it is.
Yeah, and look, if the Lakers don't win, we're every Laker fan is going to sit there and say, geez, if this just was a regular season and we got to play home games, we would have absolutely won this championship. And there's going to be reasons why and excuses of why the Lakers didn't win if they don't. And so it's going to be tough, but it doesn't change the fact, yes, it is a legit championship, no asterisk.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad you feel that way. I'm curious. Laura, do you feel that way? If the Lakers don't win the championship, is asterisks or no asterisks?
No, none. Everyone okay. is going through a very difficult time and is hustling to get that chip. So, I mean, the Lakers are going to take it, but no.
Okay. I would love to hear what the audience thinks about this because we've talked about it a little bit. You know, we've made, you know, light of it here or there, but this is a legit conversation now that people are having. And I think that I am just curious to see what the pulse of the NBA fan in this town thinks, because clearly there's an overwhelming amount of Laker fans, and we'll know what they think at 877-710-ESPN. But I'm curious to see what the Clipper fans think, whether their team wins or doesn't. There are plenty of other fans. There's a very transient town here in Los Angeles and Southern California. People from everywhere have moved here, including myself, right? LZ Granderson. I mean, hell, go back to Steve Mason. You know, he grew up in Ohio. You know, a lot of people end up here because it's a great place to live, and they have their fans of teams from other places in some cases. And I'm curious because I just think that this thing, you want to talk about creating pitfalls, right? Remember the game Pitfall? Am I dating myself? There used to be a video game called Pitfall. When I was
I've heard
kid,
of the game.
On Atari. I've heard of the game. That didn't make me feel any younger, by the way.
It wasn't meant to.
You had to just avoid what it was, pitfalls. There were these pits. There were alligators in them. You would swing from a vine as like this Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark type pixelated character. And you would try to get, you know, through the level. And that's what this is. You know, it's, or, you know, go even further back, there used to be a video game called Frogger, where you would have to avoid traffic as a frog and as it was driving past you. Laura thinks I sound like I'm a crazy person from like a different like time right now.
Yeah, I was like, what is, all I know is like Nintendo, bro. That's as far as I go.
I am an original Atari person, okay? Like I was young enough to have one of those. So yes, but
Wow is right.
Yes, wow is right, okay? But it's like, okay, would I make you feel better if it was like, it's like Super Mario Brothers, right? You have to get through the different level and get to the castle and save the princess. Does that make you feel better?
Yes, now I get it.
Okay, thank you. So anyway, there's going to be a whole set of challenges. And challenges we've never seen before. We've seen strike shortened season where, okay, you know, you're starting the season late or whatever, or, you know, you know, that kind of stuff has happened. But to do this, stop for 4 months, start again, dealing with a global pandemic, players who want to play, players who don't want to play, no home court advantage, playing in an AAU-style bubble. Like, this is a lot of crap to throw at people, okay? And I know you're saying, boo freaking who, they're getting paid millions of dollars. I get that. But, man, when you're trying to compete at anything at the highest level, if I threw a lot of different hurdles at you, even if you're a lawyer, and I kept throwing all sorts of contingencies at you, yeah, you're going to be like, man, this thing is insane, right? Imagine if you're a lawyer right now and you're doing, you know, you're on a big case and the thing gets shut down because of the pandemic, right? The courts aren't open. You know, you have to kind of reconvene. It gives your opponent a chance maybe to find some other stuff there that they can utilize to try to win their case. It's not easy. You can apply this to any walk of life, really. So, yeah, I think that there's some challenges. And by the way, there's the challenges of, are guys going to follow the rules in the bubble? Something that Damian Lillard, who spoke to the media on Zoom, addressed yesterday. Here's Dame. Do we have Dame?
My confidence ain't great. My confidence ain't great because you're telling me you're going to have, you know, 22 teams full of players follow all the rules. Like when we have 100% freedom, everybody don't follow all the rules. So, I mean, I don't have much confidence, but hopefully, you know, it'll be it'll be handled to a point where, like, we're not putting everybody at risk or in a dangerous position.
So Dame was asked, do you have 100% confidence that everyone's going to follow the rules? And he says no. Kind of similar to what Jared Dudley said not that long ago. So I think that there are some serious challenges here, you know? And, man, you know, like, it's one of these deals where if that's not going to be the case, you're going to have real problems. Now, again, a lot of these people who are involved, players, coaches, you know, because here's the thing. We just assume it's players. It could be more than just players. It could be assistant coaches. It could be, you know, I mean, not the broadcast people because we all get fired. But it could be people within there's going to be other people there in the organization that are not just players. There's going to be 35 or 37, I think now, people in every traveling party. So if you're going to tell me that there's not going to be any hurdles potentially, I would be surprised. Now, do I think that a championship level team is going to have somebody stray? I don't think so, because I think that would be selfish, and I think that everyone would view that as selfish. But if one of these teams that aren't a championship level team that's just there, one of the 22, decide, who cares? I'm just going to do what I got to do. And then all of a sudden other people start to get infected? Man, let me tell you something. People are going to be hot. Hot. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Keith is in North Hollywood. Keith, what do you got?
Hey, it's a Donald, big fan. I just wanted to say that no matter who wins this one, no asterisk, this is going to be tough. This is a challenge. We're all going through it. You know, whoever walks away with it, they're the winners, point blank. Thanks.
Okay, Keith, appreciate it. Good, I'm glad. I'm glad that that's the position of some people because, man, I just don't understand how anyone wouldn't see this situation and say, the deck is stacked against everybody. And I understand it's a level playing field. But by the way, the level playing field to me helps in saying it should be legitimate. On top of all the hurdles. Jason is in L.A. Jason, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Sedano? I got to say, it's harder. You know, a lot of these people are not conditioning at home. They don't have full-size gyms. They don't have their trainers. It's a lot harder. If there's an asterisk, it's going to say coronavirus. This championship was a lot harder. Got it.
Yep. Did he curse? I thought he said effing championship. I could
have. Pretty sure he did.
Yeah, I think I could have sworn that that's what he said. That's what
pretty
he said.
Sure.
And I think he might have said oops after, too.
Laura dumped it, so we're good.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, no. Okay, but anyway, Jason was on our side. He said that it's harder, and he said this is going to be a much bleeping harder championship. I think that's what he said. But something like that.
I think that people will only not find it legitimate if something absolutely insane happens, like the Washington Wizards.
Not happening, though.
It's not happening. Like, the Brooklyn Nets come through, and they all of a sudden, they just, without Kyrie, KD, yeah, and Dinwiddie and Jordan, and they win a championship, then people are like, come on, this isn't legit.
Yeah.
But if it's any of the top, eight teams?
Any of the top four on each side, people are going to be like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. And even I would even extend Philly that courtesy at five, you know, or six, whatever they are right now. Yeah. I think that's the way that most people would look at it. Let's go to Cam in L.A. Cam, what's up?
Hey, Mr. Sedano, thank you for taking my call. Birdman, Laura, appreciate you guys. Birdman, you're a Clipper hater, and I'm a diehard, but you know what? It's all good, man. I'm sure you share the same sentiments as a lot of Laker fans towards Clipper fans, so it's all good. My point real quick, I think if you look at last year with Kawhi Leonard, you know, leading the Raptors to a championship, if you look at it as when KD got hurt and Clay, you know, getting hurt, if you look at that as an asterisk, or you don't, I mean, either side, I think if you look at it as an asterisk, then yeah, there's an asterisk to this year's championship. But, you know, as we get later on into it, especially into the playoffs and into, you know, deeper in the rounds, you know, say, you know, worst case scenario, a superstar get, you know, test positive and then the team opposing wins the championship. I don't know. I think if you are anticipating that mentally, then I say no asterisk.
right, Cam. Thank you so much. Stay healthy, stay safe. You, Keith, and Jason all do the same. And thank you guys for the call. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Coming up next, some things never change, particularly when you're talking about the city of Boston. That and, I got more on this Tom Brady jealousy thing with Cam Newton, speaking of which. I got more on that stuff. And shout out to the city of West Hollywood. I'll tell you why in just a second. Yeah! Mason will be on today at 11:40 to break it all down, the hot dog eating contest. Today at 6:15 during their crosstalk with Sliwa. Him and Sliwa. Who do you got, Bergman? Who do you got?
Oh, this is going to be Steve Mason in a landslide.
Really?
A landslide. He is going to destroy Alan Sliwa. It's not going to even be funny. I watched Steve Mason eat 13 donuts versus Amanda Brown. He was taking glazed donuts and sticking them in water to make it be easier for him to eat. He is going to destroy Alan Sliwa.
So now, but now hot dogs are a different kind of deal than donuts, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know donuts are tough because it's a lot of sugar, and I get all that. But a hot dog, man, a lot of things can go wrong with a hot dog. We should have had Joey Chestnut on today.
Joey Chestnut was on with Mason in Ireland yesterday, or Mason and
because we had Mason him on a few months. We had him on a few right. months ago, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be so. The thing I love about this the most, though, is that the what's his name? Mason is gonna have to either sit with Sliwa for the entire show afterwards, after eating all of those hot dogs, or and he doesn't even. All he wants is just to have fun again. During crosstalk.
Right.
That's it. He doesn't sound like Sliwa has to do a show with
Lord.
Him.
I mean, Sliwa, for the love of God. Like, just have fun during crosstalk. It shouldn't have to be this way, you know?
Lord. I know. So funny.
But all right, I think I think that's why Sliwa's going to win, Greg.
What?
I think
because he doesn't want to have fun?
Yeah. Well,
because
he doesn't want that crosstalk back. I think he's going to surprise us all and be like, see? That's how hard I fought for that.
I think Sliwa's got a dark side. We'll take calls on that, too. We know, I know people want to chime in on the conversation we were having about the legitimacy of the NBA championship. But if you got a pick on Sliwa versus Mason today, feel free. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Real quick. Boston's going to Boston, man. Have you seen this thing on the internet, Greg, about the Boston radio show, Felger and Maz? I don't know Felger's first name, but Maz is Tony Maserati, who is a longtime columnist at the Boston Globe. And basically, they took two sides on Cam Newton's celebrations, right? So Felger, who I don't know, I don't know either guy, but I'm not familiar with Felger. I know they're a very popular radio show in Boston, okay? Felger basically took the position of Bill Belichick's not going to allow Cam Newton to celebrate. That's not the Patriot way, yada, 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 yada. And where Tony Maserati was kind of like, nah, kind of like I'm good with it, you know, like whatever, like that, you know, Bill's, you know, I don't think Bill cares, that kind of stuff. But the conversation in itself, to me, set off a lot of alarms, right? Like, that's the way I would describe it. And it's just like one of these awful sports radio conversations that I say awful in the sense of I can't believe that this is where we're still at. You know what I'm saying? Like, where we're still having these kinds of conversations. Because while I don't think it's racist, and I want to state that on the front end, I don't believe this conversation is racist. I'm not saying that Felger is racist. Like, I'm not saying that. And I, you know, as a minority, I can tell you that I do believe that's the case. I just think that the conversation is so lazy, is what I would say. As someone who does this for a living, like, really, this is the conversation we have? Like, if a caller brought this up, I would laugh him off and be like, dude, who cares? So, like, that's why this stuff drives me nuts. But this is Boston radio. You know what I mean? And it's, I know people here don't love Boston, so I feel like this will fire you up in some way, shape, or form. So, Laura, play the audio we have from the Sports Hub in Boston, and it's also runs, I think, on NBC Sports Boston, too, like they have a simulcast. But here is the conversation about Camp Noon celebrations and how it will go over with Bill Belichick.
How about culture? Like, even something as simple and seemingly innocuous as the dapping, the Superman, and all the celebrating and showboating on the field. They don't want you doing that here. So Cam Newton has celebrated more than any player in the league maybe over the last decade. Something as simple and innocuous as that. Think he'll be able to contain it?
I think Bill's going to give him a little latitude on that one. That's what I think.
I hope he doesn't. I like that about the Patriots. I like that. I like that they don't ride each other like ponies after games or after touchdowns or whatever. I like that they don't waste our time.
Yeah, I don't know. This guy's a different kind of cat, though.
No dice. No dice on the Superman.
I bet you they allow it, or I bet you. Put it this way.
That would piss me off.
I shouldn't say allow it, because I'm not. I don't think Bill will, quote unquote, sign off on it.
So wait a minute.
He'll do it, though.
They won't let Dorsett ride Gronkowski like a pony. Rob Gronkowski. Hall of Famer, hugely important to multiple championships. He can't screw around, but Cam Newton can?
He's the quarterback.
Oh, feh.
He's the quarterback.
Ah, oh, please.
Gronk's a tight end.
Don't tell me that.
Shut up and block.
I don't want that.
Shut up and block.
Shut up and take the next snap.
This guy, you're going to see it. Do you think this guy can contain himself? Do you really think that?
I'd like to think so.
On the field, like just celebrating?
I'd like to think so.
In terms of what he wears, and again, is he dabbing in the end zone or giving the Superman thing? I don't know, but...
No Superman. I don't want to see Superman. But Bill doesn't want to see Superman. He didn't want you taunting the opponent like that.
Okay, but let's say that Newton does it. Whose fault is it then?
Newton.
Bill's.
Newton.
Bill.
Don't Superman. We don't do that here.
Bill, like all of a sudden the guy's going to change at this stage of his career. He's been in the league 10 years.
That's what
they
ask.
He does a Superman thing every time.
That's what they ask of you.
So I just think the Patriots are being naive on that one. This guy is who he is. He is who he is. They should have learned that lesson with Ocho Cinco, by the way.
It won't be a lot. That had nothing to do with Ocho Cinco sucking here. He couldn't figure out the offense.
I'm just telling you, he was also extremely unhappy here. And I think the two can sort of, one can lead to the other.
Here's a prediction for you on Newton. No Supermaning, and you won't see it. You won't see it.
I bet you do.
Okay. I hope not.
He'll Superman it.
I hope not.
He'll burst open that shirt and try to show you the S. He'll try to show you.
Okay. So I wanted to play that because, first of all, I feel like it's just the most ridiculous conversation ever for a number of reasons. Number one, Bergman, have you ever seen a Patriot celebrate? I'm just curious.
I mean, not off the top of my head. I'm sure someone.
Oh, really? Because I specifically remember Tom Brady in a playoff game throwing a touchdown over a Pittsburgh Steelers safety who had talked trash about Brady's arm being ragged at that stage of his career, and Brady running up to him, yelling in his face, and like, you know, signaling touchdown while celebrating with his receiver. And I think the safety's name was Anthony Smith. I wish we had Ryan Clark on right now because he would remember because it was his teammate. And Brady, like, didn't even get a taunting flag, okay, because he's Tom Brady, which is crazy, and was celebrating all day long. I just retweeted, if you go to my Twitter right now, at Sedano, okay, I retweeted Steven Ruiz, who works for the Win at USA Today, and it's an entire minute-long thing about Bill Belichick telling guys, listen, we work hard all week. If you want to go out there and celebrate when we score or we do something good, go out there and have fun during the games. I want you to be serious during the week, but I want you to have fun when you're playing the games. Literally, Bill Belichick saying that, and then a bunch of clips of that. And Damian Woody was on First Take this morning saying he played for Bill Belichick, and that was the case. That Bill was always like, look, you got to take Monday through Saturday very seriously. I'm not saying we don't want to be serious about winning games, but we're going to go out there, and when you make a play, go have fun. Go enjoy it. And let's not forget, Randy Moss played for Bill Belichick and scored like 97 touchdowns in one season, one in which he caught a ball literally in his armpit as two guys were dragging all over him and just sat there and just like posed for the crowd the entire time for like 30 straight seconds. So I can tell you, as someone who has followed football for as long as I have, who specifically is a fan of a team in the AFC East whose team plays the Patriots twice a week, that stuff that Felger, I don't know his first name, from the Boston radio show of Felger and Maz, is such a crock of crap, okay? Like, you don't even know your own damn coach in your own town. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
This had to have been one of the, like, a radio bit, right? Like, this belongs on the Mount Rushmore of bad radio bits, because there's no chance that the two of them didn't sit before the show and say, hey, I'm going to take this side, you're going to take that side, because that's how ridiculous that argument was. My head was hurting listening to that. It was awful. It's so dumb that people think that you can't. It's so much like baseball. Like, baseball's a whole thing. Like, don't flip your bat. Don't show up the pitcher. Blah, blah, blah. It's the same type of stuff. Like, just play the game. Have fun. It's a game.
So I agree with you wholeheartedly. And look, again, like I said this on the front end, I don't think that's a racist conversation. However, I do think I'm not naive. I do think it's race playing a factor, because a lot of the guys who celebrate in sports, who are they, Greg? They're minorities, right? In baseball, you talked
Tim
about
Anderson.
It. Yep. All the Hispanic guys get labeled as guys who don't take the game as seriously or don't play it the right way, right? Because they like to celebrate or showboat, quote unquote, or whatever. And in football, it's the African-American players in this situation. So again, I'm not saying it's racist, but I'm not naive to not think it's not race playing a factor. What it absolutely is in baseball, as you alluded to, and now in the NFL for sure when it comes to Cam, it is absolutely old man, angry, get off my lawn radio. That's what that is, without a doubt. If there's one thing all of us can agree on, okay, that is old, get off my lawn type radio right there. I'm not saying it's racist. I'm not going to do that. But I'm not going to be naive and say it's not race playing a factor, because generally it's about playing the game the right way, which can be a dog whistle for other stuff. But it's really get off my lawn, old man stuff right there.
It's all just so ridiculous. And yes, it is very much get off my lawn type stuff. I'm just tired of hearing those types of arguments. Why are we even talking about whether it's allowed? You are allowed to celebrate in the NFL now. They don't give you a flag for taunting unless you do, you know, like the throat slash. If after a touchdown, if you want, and you and your buddies and all your teammates want to get together and do a whole thing, you're allowed to do that now. So, hey, Boston, let it go.
Okay, so you know what? Boston, let it go. That's where you nailed the dismount, Greg. That was excellent way to nail the dismount. Laura, what did you want to bring up to Greg?
I said that's how Greg sounds when he's complaining, for lack of a better word, about the universal DH. Let it go, Greg. Remember what
well,
the girl
well,
said?
Well, no, these are such two totally different things.
Laura's not wrong.
No, no. These are not even – you're talking about something about the sport that it's just a dumb thing about the sport in general, that it shouldn't be this way. There should
Get
be
off
no
my
DH
lawn.
Yep. No, this celebration is a fun thing. It's a happy thing. The universal DH is a bad thing. It's a
Why
sad
is it a bad thing?
Thing? Because it's dumb.
It's no, it's not dumb.
I hate it so much. I hate it that you sit around.
You
and sit
are get off my lawn guy. We didn't even plan it this way, but it just so happened to work out this way perfectly.
Oh, God. The DH is why are we getting me all hyped up on the DH again?
You walked
it's
in
the
that.
Worst.
You did
no,
walk
you brought
right
it
into
no,
that.
No,
because,
walked.
By the way, you nailed the dismount on, yeah, get over it, Boston guys. And then Laura just came in and just hit you over the head with a wiffle bat.
They're so different. One is about a celebration.
We'll leave it open to the audience. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Let's go to the phones, though. People want to weigh in on the conversation we were having earlier as well about the legitimacy of an NBA champion. Fernando, what's up?
Hey, Sedano, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, bud.
Hey, so I just wanted to chime in on where you guys were talking about the legitimacy of the championship. I mean, think about it. There's not going to be any fans in the audience. There's not going to be home field advantage or home court advantage. So it's going to be legitimate, 100%. We're going through all of this together. The players are not going to have fans in the audience. You know, I mean, it's going to be legitimate. I don't see no other way around that. What do you think?
I'm 100% in agreement with you, buddy, and thank you for the call. Stay healthy, stay safe, enjoy the holiday weekend. Let me go to Luis in Riverside. Luis.
Hey, what's up, George?
What up?
Hey, man, so I got a couple things. So, of course, the championship is going to be more legit than ever, 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 because this is one of the hardest things that any NBA team could go through. There should be a little gold star by any means by that. And then about Fleewa and Mace, one thing we are underestimating is, you know, he's going to get his Bob Marley on Mace before the hot dog eating contest. So I think he's going to take Fleewa. I want Fleewa to win, But he's got that underhand, and you don't think Mace got a little something there to smoke before the.
That is an excellent point. Now Mace, Luis, has always said that he has never done the show high. I don't know if I believe that. Bergman, you worked with him. Do you believe that?
I mean, there's days when Mace is on the air that you're like, hey.
Yeah. Do you not hear the things that Mason talks about the show? You really think he's not high about some of the things that he talks about on the show?
I mean, I get your point. You're not wrong in your point. I mean, there's sometimes it seems like it. I got to believe it.
Oh, he's going to want to win. He's going to want to get any kind of edge. And believe me, that's going to be the biggest edge to have.
But
the guys that are out there in Boston talking about Cam Newton, they're going to be the same guys that are going to be applauding him when Cam Newton's winning games for them, man. It's messed up. Give the guy a chance, man. He's a great quarterback. They shouldn't be saying those kinds of things. Anybody has a right to celebrate however they want if they're winning, you know? So,
yeah.
Thanks, guys, and take care, George. Appreciate you guys.
All right, buddy. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Appreciate you, too. Yeah, look, the Boston guys. I mean, Boston's just going to Boston, right? Like, that's just kind of it. Like, is that the best way to describe that, Greg?
Yeah, there's the hashtag because Florida. There's also the hashtag because Boston.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like Boston's going to Boston.
Yeah, I like that too. That works.
Hashtag because Florida, hashtag Boston's going to Boston.
Yep, love those both. But
yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, you were going to say something.
It's okay. The thing with Mason, though, like, if he did smoke beforehand, that might actually – be a hindrance to him at the same time.
Why?
Like, you can probably eat more, but he probably eats slower. This is a speed competition.
What? Why would you eat slower?
Well, no, because he's not going to sit there. His focus will be a little bit less than maybe if he was.
Look, here's what he's going to do. My guess is he's going to, and Mason is going to be on at 11:40 today to talk about this. And my guess is with Mason is that he's going to not eat today, right? And he's going to be really hungry. So then if he smokes like the break before, then yeah, he's going to be ready to roll. Once you put some food in your mouth that tastes good, particularly anything salty, man.
You can't stop.
Yeah, you're just going to go. So I actually think Luis in Riverside is onto something.
I don't know. I also feel like that if you even you may not be able to stop, but you don't eat at a fast pace in those situations. You're not like just shoving it down your throat when it's salty. I just feel like that it might could be a hindrance to him.
I mean,
All I'm saying is,
and by the way, this is all presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier at Progressive Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. And we're giving you the straight talk right now. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Let's just say that, you know, I think that, you know, once you put something in your mouth, you know, some food in your mouth after you've had a few tokes, then you're just going to keep going, especially if you get the right kind, because there's some kinds that that will make you really hungry. Like, some will make you more hungry than others, you know, at least initially. So,
yeah. And I don't agree with the whole thing of not eating all day today either. I think he's got to have like teeny, like little snacks throughout the day, because when you're really, really hungry, you don't eat all day. As soon as you put something in your stomach, you're like, oh, now I'm full. Your eyes are bigger than your stomach. So you eat a little bit throughout the day so that your stomach is ready, prepared to have more food put into it.
All right. We're going to let people call their shot. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Mason or Sliwa today in the hot dog eating contest. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. Clint Yates is going to join us in about 7 minutes or so. We will talk to him about the hot dog eating contest, and we're going to talk to him about a lot of things, including this Cam Newton discussion we just had and the NBA legitimacy conversation we had. Ben Lyons at 11:30, his movie review this week on Thursday at 11:30, so we can fit in Mace, and obviously we're not going to be on tomorrow because of the holiday, so we wanted to make sure we get our movie review. This week, Ben is doing what? He's doing 4th of July themed movies, Independence Day themed movies?
Correct, and number one should be Independence Day, right?
Why not Born on the 4th of July?
Born on the 4th of July is a good movie, but I don't know. I mean, Welcome to Earth, Independence Day, Will Smith, it's a pretty strong one.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, it is possible.
There are others.
It's game day. It's game day. Now, Sliwa and them will be eating hot dogs, but listen, you know my love for fried chicken, Greg. And you can still Feast on it, man. Churches, meet their new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, a fan favorite with a new campfire flavor plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Churches bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. So, yeah, I think it's interesting. I'm going to go with Mason, though. I do think Luis has now convinced me, even though I think that Sliwa has a little bit of a dark side to him. I've always kind of referenced that. I think that Mason may be up to something. Mason may be up to something. Here's the other thing about the Brady, Cam Newton thing. I know we kind of alluded to it yesterday, and it's not about the talk show host that we just played. But Sports Illustrated had an interesting story yesterday, and it was about Tom Brady being the biggest loser in the Cam Newton signing. And their reasoning was basically something that Momo and I kind of touched on briefly yesterday at the end of the show, which is if Cam comes in and has immediate success, let's say they go, I mean, what would you say is a successful season for the Patriots this year, Greg?
They got a tough schedule. I would say successful is still 9-7.
So like making the playoffs?
Yeah.
Right, making the playoffs. If they get to like an AFC title game, do you think that's like a tremendous success, even though that team's won that many Super Bowls?
Absolutely.
Considering, right, listen, if Cam Newton has big time success, let's say they get to an AFC title game. God forbid, let's say they get to or win a Super Bowl. Like Cam's success could diminish some of Brady's success in some people's eyes, right? Because you're going to get people to say, ooh, maybe this was more about Bill than we thought, right? And I don't think Brady wants Cam to have success, right?
No, no chance. I mean, this is something that Brady has had to deal with his entire career. He's always going to be the GOAT to a lot of people, but the fact is that people have always thought that it's a system, and he was a system quarterback, and it was Bill Belichick's system. So if Cam Newton steps right into it, just like Jimmy Garoppolo stepped in and played well, and
Jacoby Brissett and Matt Castle.
Matt Castle, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can start to build some of that argument. You're like, maybe Bill really is the puppeteer. You know what I'm saying?
Right, Drew Bledsoe was that guy before. I mean, before.
Well, no, they didn't really have that much success with Bledsoe. No,
they were
making
playoffs.
Now with Belichick.
Didn't they still make the playoffs with Belichick?
When Brady got hurt, they inserted Bledsoe, and he won a game against the Steelers for them. But, yeah, Bill's first year with Bledsoe was 5-11. Then Bledsoe got hurt. Mo Lewis knocked him out, Jets linebacker, and then Brady stepped in, and then Brady got hurt in the playoffs, and then Drew stepped in and won a game for them. But, no, he didn't have a lot of success with Bledsoe.
All right, that was like 20 years ago. Sorry, it wasn't on the top of my head. But either way, it doesn't matter. The fact is that people
Like a Keyshawn? Like basically it's too long for me to remember the details? Like, I mean, come on.
Yes. Just put it this way, that what Mason does on a regular basis, I used to do on a regular basis for a very long time, and I don't anymore because of what's happened to my brain.
Fair enough.
There you go.
Let's go to Jared in Chatsworth. Jared, what do you got?
Hey, I just wanted to remind you guys that Mason doesn't smoke anymore. He only takes edibles. So if he does take an edible, his stomach is going to be fuller or more full.
That is an interesting point. Now, I don't know if I buy that either, though, Jared, while I appreciate the call and the thought. Do you believe he only eats edibles or only takes edibles now?
No, I don't believe that in the slightest.
Yeah, I don't.
He vapes every single night, I'm sure.
All right, coming up next, Clinton Yates. We'll ask him about this Cam situation. We'll ask him about the legitimacy of the NBA title. Oh, and Rob Manfred saying some stuff that's got Greg Bergman all hot. I'm curious to see what Clinton thinks about all that, too. Man, Manfred just can't get out of his own way. ESPN, presented by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils, made from natural gas. Gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. And don't forget, it's game day. Hot dogs today, but I love me some Church's Chicken. And you can feast on Church's Chicken. Meet the new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, a fan favorite with a new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. And, of course, Church's bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. So Clinton Yates joining us here. Keep the song going, Laura, because you know I love this song. So Clinton.
It's so hard for me not to just yell out, yay, like in the beginning, you know that part.
I know. So Return of the Mac is like, Momo nailed it yesterday. I said, what do you picture me doing if you hear me playing this song in the car? And she pictured me windows down, driving to South Beach, you know, as a youngster. And, you know, like just not twilight necessarily, but you know,
no,
sun,
but dusk.
Sun, yeah, you know what I'm yeah, saying? Dusk. Yeah. yeah, for sure.
I like
this
it.
Was me. Like to me, this is a great driving windows down song. One hand on the steering wheel, okay, only one. Like that's what this song is to me. No matter where you are, just drive. Drive on a highway somewhere, preferably on a bridge near water.
This is also a great, like, real deal house party song. Like, if you're not dancing and you're chilling, you're trying to decide if you're going to hit the floor that's probably a little sweaty, probably a little dark. You don't want to be out there alone. But when this song comes on, you're like, hold up. Let me grab whoever individual I was contemplating trying to dance with, and we're going to get it moving. So this song is motivational.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. What I don't love is Rob Manfred.
No.
He was on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday. I don't know if you've heard the audio or seen the video, but Laura has the audio there for us. So he was asked about the 60-game season, and he kind of cornered himself and at least revealed something that I wasn't all that familiar with about the negotiations, or at least his side of the negotiations, and the length of the season. I always assumed that there was a chance to play as many games as possible because it had been reported that way, and that we ended up with 60 as just the result of everyone kind of taking their time and not, you know, having urgency when it came to this. But apparently on the Dan Patrick Show, he said differently, and let's hear it.
Look, I think the most important thing to our fans is that we're going to make every attempt to get the game back on the field. I know some people have talked about longer seasons, 60 too short. The reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games, no matter how the negotiation with the players went or any other factor. 60 games is the outside of the envelope, given the realities of the virus. And, you know, I think this is the one thing that we come back to every single day. We're trying to manage something that has proven to be unpredictable and unmanageable. I know it hasn't looked particularly pretty in spots, but having said that, if we can pull off this 60-game season, I think it was the best we were going to do for our fans, given the course of the virus.
So you mentioned the party, right, and Return of the Mac playing at the party. This is the record scratch at the party where he says, you're like, wait a second. What do you mean that we were only going to play 60 all along? How the hell is that the case? What did you make of that?
I mean, look, it's not that I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I think he actually believes that that makes negotiative sense, as if like the players were just supposed to buy that 60 was a reasonable number considering everything else. Like, I just – logically, I don't think that that's a very smart understanding of what the purpose of trying to play the games was to begin with. It wasn't to hit a number. It was to try to do as much as possible. And, maybe you didn't want to try to do as much as possible, but then explain what the 60 number is about then. Like, I need to see more work on why that specifically is a thing, because otherwise, I'm just going to believe that that's because that's the break-even number for most of the owners.
Clinton, you just reminded me of when I was a kid and, you know, you were doing like division and stuff, and the teacher would be like, let me see your work. Let me see how you got to this number in this equation. Like, that's what you're – and you're right. That's a perfect way to look at it.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, is that like, okay, I mean, in good intellectual faith, I can understand that if you give me a reason. But to just offhandedly refer to it as if it was obvious when it completely wasn't, especially considering the amount of time you took to get to wherever it was that you decided made sense. Nah, dog, that's not just flying under the radar as if that's not important. That was a massive miscalculation for him to admit that, because it shows that there was a lot of, again, intellectual bad faith, which is ultimately what this is about to me, well beyond the results. If you're not operating in a manner that allows people to believe that those who are the gatekeepers of the game can trust you, well, then they won't. You know what they say on the internet? When people show you who they are the first time, believe them. That's where we are right now, George, and it sucks.
He's just not really good at the public speaking thing, right? Like, it feels safe to say that at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, and honestly, at this point, I'm kind of over that. I don't need a rock star to be the commissioner of the major leagues. That's never happened and never will. And so ultimately, what I care about is this guy's ability to keep the game alive, because that's where we are right now. They banged out the minor league season yesterday. You know, guys are showing up to camp wondering what's going to be going on with the rest of their lives. And plenty of other dudes who have a lot of baseball left in them are just done-do. because they don't know what to expect, and you can't just sit around on your hands and wait for baseball to start back up when you're a human being trying to stay alive in America in the middle of a pandemic. You know, they hung everybody out to dry, and now he's acting all flippant about it. It's just not cool, man.
Speaking about not cool, and you and I touched on this, we did some digital stuff for the Now or Never ESPN2 show recently, and this was a conversation we had yesterday, I believe, about the legitimacy of the NBA season. Giannis obviously talked about it. Frank Vogel talked about it as well. Laura, let me, I know Clint's already heard the Giannis part, but let me hear Frank Vogel. So for those that don't know, Giannis talked about, look, they're, forget about the asterisks. This thing is going to be as tough as it's ever been. And Lakers head coach Frank Vogel weighed in on that. Let me hear Clinton. Let Clinton listen to Frank.
If we're able, I don't know about other teams, but if we are able to come through all of this and achieve the ultimate prize, I do think it deserves a harder than ordinary asterisk if you're going to put an asterisk on it.
I mean, there's a lot of asterisk talk, but yeah,
a lot of asterisks going around.
Harder is definitely the case. Like all the different scenarios. I mean, you referenced the pandemic during baseball, but you have that, the start, the restart, 4 months off, guys opting out, guys potentially, you know, messing around while they're in the bubble. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of things going on here that are hurdles to a championship.
You know, I got to admit, when Giannis made those comments, I hadn't really thought of it that way. Now, mind you, I was also not a person who thought it was cheapened, but I wasn't really sure where I weighed in on the competitive balance element. But now, all these whirlwind transactional movements, as you said, dudes dropping off of rosters and so on and so forth. Number one, it's clear that folks are a little kind of stressed out about this. You know, this is not going to be normal. And I think everybody is kind of psychologically preparing themselves for what they're going to deal with. And now they're the ones who are like, yeah, it's going to be pretty tough. You know what I mean? This ain't going to be no Disney summer camp, y'all. You know what I mean? Never mind the pandemic. Just the situation at hand alone is going to be an awkward one to deal with in terms of everybody being there, how you comport yourself. I'm in 100% agreement with these guys. This is going to be the hardest NBA championship to win in the modern era of the game. No questions asked. No home court advantage. All sorts of weird setups in terms of your preparation schedules. They're going to be moving all around in ways that they're not used to moving all around, which is obviously going to affect the basketball. Never mind the new players that you have to deal with if you're doing that on your team like the Lakers are. Dog, this is going to be an uphill challenge. I'm looking forward to seeing which teams can really grasp that and make it a part of their mantra to be something on the court as opposed to just kind of maybe complaining about how difficult all the hurdles are.
All right, coming up next, you're going to be around for another segment. I'm going to ask you who your biggest NBA wild cards are in each conference. We'll do what you need to know, which includes a cool Kobe story for today. And then I want to get your thoughts on all this Brady Cam stuff and this Boston Sports Radio discussion they had about Cam and celebration or whatever that we played earlier. So Clinton's going to stick around. We are back in 2 minutes and 10 seconds.